Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
You know, the last few Wednesday nights, I've dealt with the warrior's heart. And tonight I want to finish up on the warrior's heart, part four. And the warrior's heart is the heart of contentment. The heart of contentment. If you're going to have a warrior's heart, you got to have a warrior of contentment. Now, there are so many times that people misunderstand the word contentment. And we're going to deal with that. Go with me to in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll give you a few moments to get there, but then we're also going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So chapter 4 and then chapter 11. Talking about the warrior's heart. Amen. And again, man, just thank you guys. You've been so faithful. Thank you so much. Faithful in watching, faithful in serving, faithful. You know, we have our 11 o'clock drive-in service over here in the field, and you guys have been faithful there, and you've been practicing social distancing and doing what we've asked you, and thank you so much for just being a part of that, and thank you so much for adhering and to our volunteers, because we're just trying to keep everybody safe. You know, we don't want anybody. You know, I forget the number. Justin, do you remember the number? 1,104 in Florida has passed away from COVID, something like that. And you know, and everybody goes, well, that's not too many people unless it's one of your people. And if it's one of your people, it's one too many, right? So, you know, our prayers go out to those who are who have struggling with that, and then not being able to have services for them and things like that. Man, my heart just goes out, and I'm praying for you. I know some of our, no, that's not COVID-19. I know some of our friends who have lost loved ones, some not from COVID-19, but haven't been able to have a service or a funeral for them. My heart just goes out to them. We've got people on the front lines. You know, we got some of our church members, our sheriffs and EMTs and all of that here, and healthcare workers. And then we've got some that are in New York. And so, listen, we're praying for you guys. If I start calling names, I'm going to miss somebody, make somebody mad. But you know who you are. We love you. We appreciate you. And we're praying for you. All of you that made masks for our local hospital, thank you so much. We've distributed around 200 and something masks at the hospitals. Thank you so much. We got a card with many of the nurses that signed, said, thank you, CRCOG. And so, you know, I wasn't able to share that with everybody. I shared a couple of videos on Facebook where they gave us some props. And so thank you so much for all that you've done. Now, let's get into the Word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Hallelujah! Come on, just look at your. Look, if you're in your bed, if you're in your house, just look at somebody and go, I will not lose heart. I will not lose heart. This thing is not gonna whoop me. I'm gonna whoop it. Amen. This thing is not gonna whoop me. I'm gonna whoop it because I will not lose heart. Verse number 4 says, "We are afflicted on every side, or we are afflicted in every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." Verse 9 says, we are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We're not forsaken. We're not struck down, but we're not destroyed. I might be down, but I'm not out. I might be down, but I'm not out. I'm not going to stay here. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, again, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Lord, you are my daily bread. For our light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we Do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. Give me that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've talked about the heart, our warrior's heart, and we've talked about prayer, which was number one. Number two, we talked about obedience. Last week, we talked about patience. And tonight, I'm going to talk about contentment. And my heart must be given to all four of these things. Why, Pastor? Because they are all connected. That as I give my heart in prayer. So if you're going to be a warrior, you've got to have a heart of prayer. As I give my heart to prayer, I become more obedient. And I know people don't like that word obedient, but man, I like it. I like that I want my Father to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So as I give my heart to prayer, I become more obedient. As I give my heart to obedience, I'm able to endure trials. You know, I know I hear some of you spiritual, churchy, religious people right now, bless God, I ain't going to endure a trial. I'm going to overcome it. Well, sometimes you overcome a trial, but sometimes you just have to outlast it. Sometimes you just got to grow through it. Sometimes you just got to make it through. Man, there are some trials I've been through. I'm just glad I made it through and learned what I learned. I don't want to repeat it. But I didn't go, woo, I'm warriors. You know, I didn't have a warriors parade because I was all that in a bag of chips. No, I just barely made it through, but thank God I made it through. So as I give my heart to obedience, I am able to endure trials. As I give my heart to patience, I enter into contentment. I enter into contentment as I give my heart patience. Now, but then check this out. As I give my heart to contentment, full circle, my prayer life becomes more powerful. That's where we're trying to get to, man. Why? Because I am now living at the center of God's will. And Paul, the model of believers' warfare in 2 Corinthians 11 and 4, says five times, verse 24, five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers amongst false brethren, dangers by bears and tigers. No, I'm just going on. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. All the other things that I'm dealing with. And then he says, and you know, I've been through all of this, but yet I still have the pressure of the churches. But yet, here's what he said. I do not lose heart. After all the things that you're dealing with, trying to make ends meet, trying to teach your children stuff you don't know, trying to deal with your children, thanking God for teachers now, ain't you? Trying to deal with your children, your little mean child, trying to deal with your child, and all of these things, still trying to make it happen, you don't need to lose heart, and neither should we. And this is why Paul could make the great statement of contentment in Philippians 4:11, when he says, I'm not saying this because I am in any need, for I have learned to be content in whatever situation I am in. I know how to be humble and I know how to prosper. In each and every situation, I have learned the secret of being full and of going hungry, of having too much and of having too little. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. That's the key, man. That's the key. Man, if you could pray this prayer, if you could find this, I pray that I stay that way. You know, that I can be humble, that I can, but yet I can also know how to prosper. That in every situation, I can be content. Now, here's the question. Point number one. Here's the question. What is Contentment. Nope, not that one, the other one. There we go. What is contentment? And that's part of the thing that you've got to understand. The word contentment means satisfied. The word contentment means satisfied. I didn't say petrified, because some people get satisfied and then sit there until they get petrified. I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying, well, Pastor, this, you know, praise God, I'm just happy where I'm at. And that's one thing. But contentment means, thank you for what I have, but I know there's more. Amen? That means, thank you for where I'm at. I remember when I first started pastoring, I thought, man, God, if you could just give me 100 people to pastor, I would never ask you for another thing. And then we started running about 80 people, and I thought, hey, I might could handle 125. And then I kept moving that because I was thankful and content where I was, but I'm not, I don't want to be thinking that God can't do any more. But I had to learn how to be content where I was. Matter of fact, it's the Greek word when it says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, where it says, my grace is sufficient for you. It is the Greek word suffice or sufficient. My grace is sufficient. It means that my grace, he is enough for where you are. I mean, I'm thankful for where my marriage is. After 34 years, I'm thankful for where my marriage is, but I know that there can be more. So I thank you for where I'm at, but I know that God's bringing me more even in my marriage. Notice that the word content is the same as content. Content and content, which means that which is inside of something. And there are so many of you that are not content where you are because of the contents that you're in or that's in you. So in order for you to be content, you've got to be examine what are the contents of my life. What is that that's in my life that's causing me to be dissatisfied, that's causing me to be restless, that's causing me not to be content with what God. Now, the contents of my mind, the contents of my wallet, the contents of my life. Let me give you some key passages. Philippians 4:11. I don't have these on notes, except for on mine. It says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever circumstances. And 1 Timothy 6:8 says this, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Hebrews 13:5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. You know, there are people who they got to have the biggest and the best and the latest of everything, and they still ain't content. That's not what God says. But God, 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. One of the greatest enemies of contentment is our desire to control our environment and determine the results of our endeavors. Now that's got to be huge for some of us. I was preaching my aunt's funeral a couple of years ago, and I said, I don't know if I've always liked being in control or not. And my cousin, who I grew up with, she said, from the congregation, as I was preaching this funeral, she goes, you have. And that just took me so off guard because I wasn't ready for that. Because I don't like being out of control. I like control, you know. I don't mind chaos as long as it's controlled chaos. I like that, but I don't like it. But one of the greatest enemies of contentment is our desire to control our environment and determine the results of our endeavors. You know, if God would let me choose, there's some things that I've been through that I would not go through. But if God didn't allow me to go through what I went through, I wouldn't be content with where I am. Well, then that brings us to point number two. Pastor, how do I develop a heart of contentment? Well, first of all, receive each day and whatever it brings as from the hand of God. I'm not talking about rolling over and playing dead. But I'm talking about, man, whatever you find yourself in it every day. All right, Lord, this is what you brought to me. What you want to teach me? What do you want me to do? What you want me to learn? What do I need to do? Psalms 118:24 says that this is the day which the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what it says. Lamentations 3:22 says, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Instead of viewing God's character in the light of the circumstances, we should view our circumstances in the light of God's character. Let that sink in. We view God's character in the light of circumstances. No, let's change it around, man. We should view our circumstances in the light of God's character. What is God trying to do? What is God trying to do through me, to me, and in me while I'm here? Do you know that God will use you to touch somebody else? That God will allow you to go through some things that he knew that you have enough intestinal fortitude to get through that other people couldn't get through it. And then when you get through it, then just like Peter, he said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What it means is when you've come through what you're about to go through, turn around and strengthen those who have not been through what you've been through, or strengthen those who are about to go through what you've been through, and you can help them get through that troubled water. One of the parts of how do I develop a heart of contentment? Ask God to change your heart. Change my heart. Change my, not my circumstances, but my heart. Because every judgment, everything that God allowed to come on the Israelites were to change their heart. And many times, God's trying to get you to change your heart. You know what? There's a lot of people through this pandemic. I'm not saying God caused it. But I'm just saying that through this thing, a lot of people started looking to God. A lot of people started thinking, man, is this the end time? Listen, I don't know if it's the end time, but I can tell you it's your end time. It's your end time, all right? So instead of asking the Lord to change our circumstance to suit us, we can ask him to use our circumstances to change us. Man, if I got to go through something, I might as well go through it on my way to something better. I might as well go through something. If I'm on diet, I better see some results. You know what I'm saying? And that's the problem with eating right. You know, you don't see results instantaneously usually. And so if you're going to do that, you want to see some results. And if I'm going to go through something, I want to see something on the other side. And sometimes you don't see it for weeks and months until you get a little bit further down the road. If I am discontent with what God has given me, I will never be able to be content with what I earn, what I steal, what I win, or what I get on my own. I got to be content with what God gives us. You know, I love this quote, and I can't remember where I read it or I would give them credit, but it said the first half of our life, we spend our wealth getting health, or we spend our health getting wealth. And the second half, we spend our wealth on our health. And that's the truth, ain't it? And so point number three is this: cultivate a heart of gratitude. Cultivate a heart of gratitude. One of the biggest problems in Christendom today is that we are not thankful for where we are and thankful for what we have. You know, the example of the 10 lepers in Luke 17:17, Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And it reminds me of a story I read one day. It said a young man with a bandaged hand approached the clerk at the post office. And the guy at the post office said, sir, the guy with the bandaged hand said, sir, could you please address this postcard for me? The clerk did so gladly. And then he agreed to write a message on the card. So he continued to write a message, whatever the man with the bandaged hand asked him to write. And then he said, is there anything else I can do for you? And the young man looked at the card for a moment. And then he said, yes, add P.S., please excuse the handwriting. That's a laugh I'm hearing over here. All right. So, but you know, that's being ungrateful. Me and this guy wrote this thing and he couldn't read it. He goes, hey, also put on there, please excuse the handwriting. I had to explain it to some people that didn't get that joke. But anyway, many of the Jewish feasts were to remind the people of God's acts of deliverance and provision so that they could renew their sense of gratitude and dependence on God. You know, if you're a parent, you know about unthankfulness. Don't you wish your children were thankful? Some of them are. You know, I remember years ago we were out skiing and I was with my brothers and their families. And so it was me and my daughter, another brother and his daughter on the lift. And we're going up the lift. And my oldest daughter, Jillian, she turned to me and she said, "Dad, thank you so much for bringing us on this trip." And I go, "Oh, honey, you're welcome. You're so sweet." And my brother sitting next to me looked at his daughter and goes, "Don't you have something to say?" And his daughter goes, "Nope." You can't, you know, gratitude is hard to teach, but you need to be thankful. And part of these feasts that these Jews would always do is that they would forget the goodness of God. And that's why you need to remember and rehearse the goodness of God. And they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You need to tell somebody where you got or how God delivered you in order to increase their faith and increase their hope. You see, in Hosea 13:6, the Bible says, "As they had their pasture, they became satisfied, and being satisfied, their heart became proud. Therefore, they forgot me." Man, how many times? I know a guy that used to go to this church, and the Lord, it was God that gave him a house, and he started missing church. I go, "Hey, man, what's going on?" He goes, "Well, Pastor, my only day off is Sunday, and I need to keep the yard up and clean the church or clean my house and blah, 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 because God gave me this house, so it would not be good for me to let it go to waste." Well, I wish I could tell you that guy was in church, or hopefully you're watching, man. I'd love it. But the thing is, he got out of church. He fell out with God. He doesn't go to church anywhere. He doesn't have a relationship with God or whatever the case is. You got to remember that just because you get something, you can't forget who brought it to you. Everything that I have, and this is my heart. Everything that I have, I owe to God. My children, I owe to God. My wife, I owe to God. I mean, my shoes, my socks, my underwear, man, my jeans, my whatever I have, I owe to God, because I know that it was God who brought it. And if you want to quit, let the blessings of God quit in your life. You start taking credit for what God did in your life, and he'll stop blessing, I promise you. Pride says, "I did it." But gratitude says, "God did it. God did it." Well, you know, people ask me sometimes, why are y'all blessed? I don't know. It's God. I mean, I know a little bit, but it ain't me. I know this. It's God. It's God's blessings. So, listen. Let me give you this, man. I don't think I have this on slide, but we'll see. Rebellion against God. I think I do. Do I have that, Ryan? Rebellion? All right. Well, I'm going to say it slow. Rebellion against God does not begin with the clenched fist of atheism, but with a self-satisfied heart of the one of whom thank you is redundant. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, You don't get rebellion against God. It doesn't start with, one day I woke up and I'm an atheist. No, it starts out with, quit saying I'm thankful. It starts out with I'm thankful for me. It becomes selfish, and then you begin to rebel against God. Point number four, and I'm done. Well, point number four, but I got four things in number four. Let Christ, now I got chuckles. Y'all don't get the joke, but now I got chuckles. Let Christ determine the content, the noun, the content of your life, and you will find contentment. There are four contentment killers that I'm not going to preach long on. I just want to hit them. Four things that will cause you to be discontent. Number one, comparison. When you begin to compare yourself to everybody else, when we control the content, the noun, the money, the position, the family, we will also need to find a criteria to determine how to measure what it should look like. The Apostle Paul remarked from 2 Corinthians 10:12, he said, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Here's why. Comparison leads to covetousness. There will always be people with more. You know, you might be bad, but there's somebody always better. You might be blessed, but there's somebody always more blessed. You might be a great preacher or teacher, but there's somebody always better. You might be a great whatever, but there's always somebody around the corner better and better. So you cannot compare because it leads to covetousness, which, all right, number two I done gave you is covetousness. Now, covetousness, instead of loving my neighbor, I start loving what they have. Instead of loving people around me, I begin to love what they have and want what they have. The Apostle Paul, contentment was grounded in not how much he had, but in the one who had him. Paul's contentment wasn't that I've got all this. Paul's contentment was God has me. And that wasn't being arrogant like, you know who God has? He has me. No, no. It was like, God has me. And as long as God has me, and if I'm doing what God has called me, then I can't measure myself to somebody else who is doing greater things because that's comparison. I've got to recognize, am I doing what God's called me to do? Am I living my best life? Because my best life can't be compared to somebody else's life. Covetousness leads to competitiveness. To be better than my neighbor or to be better than somebody else. And you got to be careful. Because number three is competitiveness. It blocks contentment. It uproots it. Instead of loving my neighbor, I start loving what they have. And competitiveness is competitiveness is in the shadow of discontentment. We tend to use this type of competition as a vehicle to authenticate our identity and to prove our capability. Oh, I can do this better than that one. No, that's not what God wants. You know, one of the things about the game of golf, and I don't golf. I played twice and I'm not that good. But golf is a game against yourself. You always trying to beat yourself. That's what they told me. But when I was playing with three other guys, I was trying to beat them, all right? Because it is what it is, right? But this kind of competitiveness tempts us to compromise. If you're trying to be better than somebody else, then you start trying to cut corners. What will it take for me to be better than them? And then that last one then is compromise. When we want something bad enough, we're often willing to compromise our character and set aside our convictions to get it. And that's where discontentment comes in. The more we release temporal possessions, the more we grasp eternal treasures. And let me tell you this. There are times that God may take away our toys to force us to transfer our affections to Christ and His character. You know, nothing wrong with toys. I've got a Harley. That's not a toy, that's a necessity. But anyway, but it's a toy. I've got a Harley. I've got a boat. I have a couple of toys. But that's not where my affections are. My affections are on Christ. The secret of contentment. It is only when we allow Christ to determine the content of our lives, that we can discover the secret of contentment. Instead of comparing ourselves with others, we got to realize that the Lord alone knows what is best for us and loves us enough to use our present circumstances to accomplish eternal good. Contentment is not found in having everything, but in being thankful with everything that we have. When's the last time you just God gave thanks, or that you just gave God thanks for everything that you have? A biblical understanding of contentment leads to a sense of our competency in Christ. It leads to us understanding that everything that we have is because of Christ. And if we have Christ, we have everything that we need. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Contentment is not the fulfillment of what we want, but the realization of how much we already possess in Christ. Man, I want to say that again. Contentment is not the fulfillment of what we want, but the realization of how much we already possess in Christ. Can we take a few moments and just give God thanks and praise? Thank Him. Gratitude for what we have. But Pastor, I don't have... No, shut up. What do you have? Because to look past what you have is to discount it and discount what you have. What you're saying is, what I have is not enough. I need this. Many of the battles, many of the trials that I've been through, I've looked at my wife before and go, are we okay? Because if me and you are okay, and me and Jesus are okay, then I can handle almost anything that comes our way. Contentment. If you need to get something right with the Lord, just do that right now in your home. Maybe you haven't served God. Maybe you haven't been thankful. I don't know where you're at in your life, but would you just take a moment and just ask God, change my heart. Thank you for everything that I have. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. God, I don't deserve your goodness, but I thank you for it. I glorify you because of it, God. I give you praise. Father, I pray over every person that is hearing this, either live or that will hear it later. I pray that your presence and your spirit would move on their lives, that they would find contentment in you. Lord, we possess what we need because we are in you, in Jesus' name.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.